Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Wednesday nights, we've got a lot going on. In fact, if you're here on Wednesday nights is a real teaching time. And I just want to start out tonight by teaching. And what I'm going to teach on is what I asked you to bow your heads and pray on Wednesday night about, Lord, would you just help me right now make a decision that I'm going to place myself in a position to receive. And that was what we did on Sunday before we heard the message, the vision for this year. But it's just been all over me that I think we're in a position in life that we've got to make decisions. We've got to make some tough decisions. And I'm speaking to a Wednesday night crowd that you've made the tough decision to be here and sit under the study, the teaching of God's word and receive at a level that you don't always get just on Sundays. And so I applaud you for doing that, and I want to make sure that we are in a place as pastors of Christian Ministries that we are giving you some real meat that you can chew on. And the reason why I surrendered to the call of preaching under Christian Ministries' vision was because it's life-changing in the way they teach the Word. The word all of a sudden came so alive to me, and it was more than a history lesson. It was like, this can be foundational for my life. Life is a series of decisions that you'll make. It really is. I mean, every day it's a decision that you are going to have to make just to get out of bed. You got to decide, I'm getting out of bed. Regardless of how bad things hurt right now, I'm getting out of bed. Whatever the case, you make a decision, and right after that, you've got another one to make. And then your phone starts ringing, or you're answering an email, and you're like, okay, what do I do now? What's the next decision? And you've got to understand that you're where you're at right now based on all the decisions you've made. You're here based on decisions. And the most important thing that you can do in life is to make the right decision. And wouldn't it be awesome if you could make the right decision every time? I mean, it would be life-changing for me, for you, for everybody that's in your circle, just to make the right decision. And life, I promise you, would be great if it was a whole combination of decisions that have made that were all right. I don't know if you can look back on your life and go, okay, that was a bad decision. that was a bad decision. And I don't want to live life based on all the wrong decisions I've made. Well, how am I going to do that? To make a point from this day forward, I'm going to do everything in my power to make right decisions. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to make right decisions. We're studying about the new covenant this year because the new covenant lets us make right decisions according to the word that we didn't have an option of with the old covenant. And I'm not going to preach my message Sunday. Come Sunday to hear that. But most of our problems in life really are a result of wrong decisions. They are. I know things can happen. Circumstances can take place. But wrong decisions, many of us are at a place where the enemy wreaks havoc upon our brain because of a wrong decision that was made. Many live their entire life based on the consequence of a wrong decision. Enjoying a life, being blessed, will require you to get to a place where you make a lot of right decisions. I'm just telling you, living the blessed life, and you want peace there, you want joy, you want all the fruits of the Spirit in your life, it's a culmination of right decisions. So wouldn't it be awesome, there's a God word for you, if we could just every time make the right decision. Well, I want you to know that I don't have the answer to get every one of them right, because I've worked hard on this for a long time and I still look back and go, well, that was the wrong decision. But when you start looking back and you go, well, you know what? There's a lot of rights that have got me where I'm at now. And when you start weighing that your decisions were mostly right instead of mostly wrong, you'll find you're walking in some more maturity. Things aren't getting you. The enemy don't have the power that he once had. So let's just start with a verse tonight, Psalm 119:105. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Watch this. This right here, my friends, is a lamp. In case you were wondering. This right here is a light. A lamp and a light. And both of them are referred to as the Word of God. You can turn the lights back on, because I already blinded you. Welcome to my world. You're blinded by the light. That reminded me of a song. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say. All right, so the Word of God is a lamp. What do lamps do? They let you see close. They let you see where your steps are. And the Word of God does that. He lets you see where your next step is. That's what a lamp does. But the Word of God also is a light that's bigger than a lamp, and it will give you vision for where you're headed. That's what the Word of God does. It shows you for your next step, and it also shows you distance. A light allows you to see further out and get vision for where you're going. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a path before each person that seems right, but in the end is death. Let me just tell you, when you can't see where you're at because you weren't in your lamp, you'll stumble. And if you've ever stumbled, it can be really frustrating. If you're not in the Word of God, a stumble oftentimes is inevitable. And then what happens is you start walking not with this in front of you, but it's just on your coffee table or on your nightstand. It might even be in your pocket, your phone, but you haven't looked at it. And the next thing you know, you're heading down a path that's leading you to destruction. Now, everybody goes, I already know all of that. Okay, well, great. How are you doing with your Bible as your light? Because you got some decisions you've made that were wrong. And we're wanting to make right decisions, and you will never make a right decision without the lamp and the light. You've got to know where you're at and where you're going. It's exactly why we need the Word. It's why we need the Word, because it helps us make decisions. We don't stumble where we are. We don't go somewhere that is going to crush our life or going to get you in a bad position. Don't stray from the Bible, or you will be years trying to get out of the bonehead decisions that you made. I've watched it. I've been there. I see good kids all the time have a moment or a season of life where they leave the Bible and they do something stupid. I've watched it over 20 years right here. Good adults headed down a correct path according to the Word. And then what happened? You didn't access the lamp and the light. You forgot the Word. The Word. Hebrews 10:25, we're going to get into this. Don't forsake the assembling. I know I'm speaking to you. The enemy's going to do everything he can to get you to forsake being with God's people under God's direction, under the fivefold ministry that God made available through the church. He's going to do everything he can to get you out of it. Why? Because if he can get you out of the church, he'll limit how much lamp and light you have.
That's right.
And that's his goal. He don't want you in the Word. So I want to talk to you today about how to make and to get on a path of making right decisions. We're all aware of what coming to something with the wrong perspective can do. Have you ever thought you had it all figured out and then you found out you didn't know anything? You don't build a skyscraper on a shaky foundation. Let's just start with that. You've got to have a correct foundation. And let me say this. You don't build a life on a shaky foundation. Now, I'm talking about the Word, yes. But I'm talking about decisions that you're getting ready to make in life have to be based on a foundation that's not shaky. Let me give you an example. Something happens and a decision presents itself. And every minute of every day, you're faced with making a decision. Here's the problem. You're mad right now. So you're mad. And you can know that if mad is your foundation for the decision you're getting ready to make, you're in trouble. See, decisions are made all the time based on a shaky foundation, and emotions are shaky. And so you made a decision on your mind. Right now you're jealous. I'm so frustrated at what so-and-so has and what they're doing. And I'm just so frustrated in what they have available to them. And it may not be money, it may be people, it may be life, it may be a job, maybe whatever. I'm just so jealous. And you can't make a right decision based on your jealousy. Right now you're hurt. I mean deeply wounded. You've been treated wrong, or you just got offended because people are people and they didn't do what you thought they should have. And here's what you must know. When you make a decision in offense, you've got a shaky foundation. Are you hearing me? That just some things in making right decisions, you've got to start with a right foundation. You have a desire to be accepted. And you're wanting to be accepted so bad, and so you make a wrong decision based on just a need for acceptance. Shaky foundation. Young people, I've seen them do it. Now, the mature person will say, hold on, I'm mad right now. I can't say that anger in and of itself is a sin, because the Bible says that God had anger, and God never sinned. So anger in itself isn't, but you can sin, because the Bible says be careful not to sin in your anger. So when anger is your foundation, you make a decision, there's a good chance you'll make a wrong one. So a mature person will say, wait, I'm mad right now and I'm not thinking real clearly, and I need to wait till this anger has subsided before I make a decision on this. See, maturity will help you here. To have a proper perspective on what to do, I've got to deal with that boiling attitude before I take a step forward on a decision. Are you hearing me today? I think these are important things that we understand. I have to deal with this jealousy issue, or I'm going to make a bad decision. I'm going to buy a car because someone else just did, and I didn't need that. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do something that wasn't a good thing. Oh, or I got to get past this hurt or offense, because if I make a decision based on this hurt or offense, a year down the road, I'm going to be really hurt that I made that decision. Why in the world did I? It's because you were hurt and offended. And now you're living 5 years past this because you made a dumb decision because you had a shaky foundation. Yeah, really good. All right, so to get a proper perspective, you got to have a proper basis to operate on. So that is my first big thing that you've got to get. You've got to get a solid foundation. You can't be emotionally spent. Well, how do I get past that? You get God. You spend time in His Word and you get healed up. You get that emotion healed up. You get past that anger. Well, how do I do that? Because God will get you past that. Man can't. Circumstances, if they change, I'll get past my anger. Circumstances will never get you past your anger. Only God and surrendering to Him. And so you get a solid foundation. Now, after you get that solid foundation, I want to share with you 10 points tonight. 10 questions, if you will, that you have to ask before you make a decision. This is the wisdom, and I'm going to use the word for every one of these points because every point is a question and your answer will be found in the word. So, but you got to ask the question and then you can get the answer out of the word and then you can make a decision. Now, if I don't get to all 10 points tonight, there's a good chance because I'm long-winded sometimes. I am preaching next Wednesday and I will get to the remainder of the list next Wednesday. So wherever I stop off, I might say, okay, I'm done, y'all stand. And then know that the next point, he didn't get to all 10. Next week I'll get to the rest of it. If I get to all of them tonight, I still got more to say. So here we go. Number one, what biblical principles should inform my decision? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. See, if you don't ask that question before you make this decision, you could be in a real pickle. Once again, light. You need light. You need a lamp. So what biblical principles should inform my decision? Here we go, Proverbs 2, verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. There's so many principles out of Proverbs. Now let me make sure that we understand. I'm going to share a lot of Proverbs tonight. But Proverbs is a book full of principles, not promises. And when I say that, there are times that you operate in the principle of God's word, and you might not see the immediate result, but when you do that all the time, the principle is that'll pay better dividends to you than not. So Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. What other biblical principles should inform my decisions? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Many of you have this memorized. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Wow, he'll make my path straight because that light is directional and it's not shining over there and I'm shining where the word of God gave me knowledge to walk. So what biblical principles should inform my decision? 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That'll help some of us lose weight. Is that fourth piece of pie to the glory of God? No, that's glory flesh. Okay, I'm moving on. 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Young people, you need to write that one down. That's a big one. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? It doesn't. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. What can I learn from that? Well, is this going to put me in a position of a slave? Or is it going to put me in a position to be able to lend and help others? Or am I going to be in a slave? See, these are biblical principles that should inform my decision before I make it. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If your decision, you can't think about all those things right there, then you probably ought to be careful about making it. Questions to ask here with the first point. What does the Bible have to say about this decision? Who can help me better understand what God's word says about this decision? Because I'm telling you, God said it. And if he didn't say it somewhere in his word, he'll say it through the Holy Spirit who will download it in you. Because that's him. And you'll usually find after he does that, you can back it up. No, you can always find you'll back it up with the word. And then make sure you're not the only one who holds to your interpretation. Did y'all hear that one? When you're the only one, well, I know God told me. I know, and he'll back it up with counsel. He'll back it up. Number two, How do I know all this? What do I ask? What do I ask before I make this decision? Here's what you ask. Do I have all the facts? Do I have all the facts? Proverbs 18:13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. I love that verse. Spouting off before listening to the facts. I can't even tell you how many times I have been guilty of this. My wife would say, if you would listen to me, I'm sorry. That means quit spouting off. You don't know everything yet. Let me tell you the whole story. Don't spout off before listening. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. We are guilty of thinking that we know what someone's saying or what someone's asking. You ever have anyone that just interrupts you before you even get it all out? Come on, y'all, don't be nudging anybody right now. But we all are there at times, and we're going to jump into a decision before we really examined all the facts. Now, we can also go to the other extreme here, so let me just give this as a little byproduct. We have people that are going to learn for 25 years all the facts, and they needed to make the decision 25 years ago. They're going to wait. I mean, just, I can be guilty of kicking tires. I get that to make sure. Rick and I talk about this all the time. But there are times you have to make a decision, and a decision needs to be made. And so that's the other extreme. But most people aren't guilty on that end. Most of the time we make a decision way too fast. And so what I'm talking about, do I have all the facts? Proverbs 18:17. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines. Proverbs 18:17. People will make decisions based on other people when they don't really have all the facts. They heard from one person what someone said. Before you make a decision on that, on what you're going to think on that, go talk to the other person or stay out of it. It's really important. I've had to teach this time and time again to people who have came to me because I failed in this area miserably for years. I'd hear something and I'd run right in because I got to have a talk here. I know what you said about me. Well, wait a minute here. Who told you that? Well, so-and-so did. Well, that's not the whole story. So you didn't get all the facts and you just made a decision. Make sure you research the facts. And let me just add one thing to that. As you research the facts, research them with grace and love because that's what God has available. And when you research the facts in grace and love, you don't research them in condemnation. And people research things and get the facts in condemnation. I hope I'm helping somebody tonight. There are questions to ask. Ask a lot of questions. It's how you get facts. Ask questions. Don't ask questions to prove your point. Ask questions to get the facts. Don't fall prey to wishful thinking or let your emotions get the best of you. Don't want a specific answer more than you want the facts. That can get us in trouble. You keep Googling until you find somebody who agrees with you. And you don't even know this person, but you got backup. Remember that there are two sides to every story. Get both sides before you make a decision. Number three, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Well, that's a big question to ask. Is the pressure of time forcing me to make a decision that was really premature? Car salesmen want you to make a decision premature. And if you get out what can we do to get you to buy this car today? If you ask that again, you're going to find out. The answer is going to be no, I will never make a decision this day. And so if you ask me, I'm going to turn around and leave. So don't ask me again. Are we on the same page? Yep. Well, that's pretty mean. No, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. I'm not making a premature decision. And that tells me you want me to. Premature, now I'm not talking about just buying cars. I just bought a car, so I'm kind of one of those things I'm thinking about. But premature decisions can get you in a lot of trouble. Proverbs 19:2, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. Whew. The Bible answers that for us. It's just, that's not Ashley's wisdom, that's God's wisdom. Haste makes mistakes. Proverbs 21:5, good planning And hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I've watched a lot of people in poverty because they made a premature decision. That wasn't a good decision. Questions to ask. Be aware of the once-in-a-lifetime deal. It's once-in-a-lifetime, today only, today and today only. Don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. When in doubt, leave it out. There you go. There's your quick phrase. That was all mine. Number four, what possible motives are driving my decision? Well, this has to deal with flesh. What motives are driving my decision? Proverbs 16:2. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. See, the Lord is examining what your motive is behind the decision you're thinking about making. What's your motive behind that? Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I've cleansed my heart, I'm pure and I'm free from sin? Who can say that? In and of yourself, no one. It's only right standing with what God has done through his covenant that we can be right. Question is to ask. Acknowledge that you have blind spots. Access your motives honestly, both good and bad. And weigh them out. Is there flesh in this decision here? Let me add one more question to throw in there. Who should I be going to and asking advice from that I don't want to hear? Because if you don't want to hear it and you know that they have godly wisdom and counsel, you got to give others permission to speak into your life. You've got to give others. I have learned that I would try to speak into people's lives before having permission. And when you don't have permission to speak into someone's life and you try to, it doesn't accomplish great things. Well, I wish you'd have told me. Well, you didn't give me permission. I wish somebody had told me. You didn't give anybody permission. You've got to give people permission to speak into your life. It's important. Otherwise, you'll find yourself at 30 years old looking back at decisions you made at 20, and you're mad at everybody. Well, nobody told me. You didn't give anyone permission. It's a big deal, young people, to give wisdom, Jesus in someone, permission to speak into your life. Here's when most young people go and ask for that. When they're in a crisis and they've already stepped in the hole and they lost their lamp and their light. And they're in this hole and they're like, how did I get here? Can you help me? If you'd have given me permission before now, you wouldn't be where you're at now. Give permission to people to speak into your life. You got that? Number five, how should past experiences inform my decision? I don't know if you've ever told a young person this or you've thought this. And the thought is, if I knew then what I knew now, I'd be in a different place right now. I've said that 100 times. I wish I'd have known back then what I know now. I wouldn't be, oh my goodness, I could be in a whole different place. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats its foolishness. That's so gross. Both of them. Fools repeating their foolishness is just as gross as dogs eating their vomit. And both of them don't produce what you want it to produce. Proverbs 17:10. We got to back these all up with Scripture because the Bible is why we're asking these questions. How should past experiences inform my decisions? Proverbs 17:10. A wise person will learn more from a warning than a fool will learn from 100 lashings. It's really nice when you get to be your own warning system. I already messed that up. I'm not doing that again. I know what talking to my wife does when I say that. And she knows what my triggers are, and I know what hers are. Why in the world do you keep pushing them or pulling them? Because every time you pull a trigger, you just get shot again. What do you think is going to happen different? You think they're going to run out of bullets? No. They got plenty. And we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. You're a dog eating vomit's what you're doing. Well, that's gross. I know. What you're doing is gross. It's not working for you. It's not letting you make right decisions. Why do you keep doing it? A wise person will learn from a warning. Come on, we ought to have our own warning system. We ought to have something that goes off and we know that my past experience right now is keeping me from making the same decision. Filing bankruptcy 5 times is a dog eating vomit. They just keep going back. Why would you do that? Learn from a past mistake. I'm not saying that I just want to get to a place where I don't have to learn from my own mistake. Wouldn't that be nice? Getting to a place where I can see someone else's mistake and I ain't going there. But the problem is learning from a mistake won't always get you the right answer. So you got to be careful about that. Sometimes we want to learn from mistakes, and the problem is I'm not going to do that again. Okay, well, the question isn't that I'm not going to do that. I got to know now what to do. And so we just keep making the same mistake. Well, I learned from that mistake and I didn't do that, but I still fell in a trap. Well, why did you get enslaved there? Because you didn't get a forward answer. You just said, oh, I'm not going to do. But past experience ought to help form your decision. Look for patterns of behavior. Look for triggers. Understand how your family background might affect your thinking. That was a big deal for Michelle and I. Her dad did so much stuff in their house, and so her expectation of a husband was for me to do all of that. No. All the things her dad did, my mom did. So what was my expectation? That's your job. I ain't taking out that trash. Understand how your family background might affect your thinking. That saved my marriage, along with a lot of other things I was wrong on. Learn from your mistakes. Come on, we got to get to that place. Number 6, are y'all getting anything from this tonight? I just wanted to bring right off the bat how we're going to apply the Word of God in 2025 because of what's available and God made available in His Word. Number 6, what is the collective counsel of my faith community? Let me say it like this, because a lot of people call their faith community someone they don't even know. Someone had a word here. What is the collective counsel of my personal faith community? Not your online faith community, your personal faith community. And then I'm going to add one more. What is the counsel of my spiritual mentor? Well, I don't know that I have that. Well, you need to get one. I've got one in several areas. And when I'm running into a situation, I make a phone call because I know this person has godly counsel for me and I want to find out what they have to say about it. So your spiritual mentor, you determine personal community based on people who you know love you, they care for your outcome, they want the best for you, but they want it all based on the overview of the kingdom of God, not the flesh. So, some verses to back also. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is, come on, say it, victory. If all your decisions were right, victory would start being where you came from. I'm going to come from a place of victory. How do I do that? Based on the Word of God. And the Word of God manifests itself through people a lot smarter than me at times. And also backed up by people who are heading the same direction as my light told me I was going. The Word of God. So I know where I'm at. Proverbs 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. I have watched this for years. People separate themselves from the collective counsel of a faith community because they got in the flesh, they got offended, they got hurt, something. He who separates himself seeks his own desire, and he quarrels against sound wisdom. I have said this, and I'm going to always say it. Find me 5 people who love God, love His kingdom, love His church, love the things of His Word, that show that they have a lamp and a light. All of those things. And then come back to me and tell me you're okay to isolate yourself. You'll never find it. You can't find 5 people sold out to the Word of God that allow you to isolate. Now, you can still isolate, but you won't do it in a faith community that's operating according to the Word of God. Just watched it. Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. A fool doesn't want to know the truth. He just only wants what he's saying for everybody to hear him and do exactly what I say. That's what a fool does. He don't delight in understanding. So, questions asked. Avoid having many separate conversations. Recognize the difference between selling your idea and sharing an idea. That'd be good for home environments. And to teach your kids, because kids always try to sell their idea, not share an idea. Boy, I just love this topic. This is so fun for me. Know when to open the circle and to go get some help. Know when to open. How do I do that? When I've got to make a decision that other people will be affected by it.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.